Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In this lesson, we are going to deal with some very, very major changes in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 is one of the best chapters in your Bible that speaks about false teachers and how they beguile unstable souls. So you can be sure, since this particular chapter is the warning about what the false teachers will do, you can be sure that there are going to be significant changes in this chapter in the modern Bibles to disguise their work, because we've often contended that a lot of the false teaching comes through the modern Bible. So there's going to be a bit of a blanket about some of the warnings in 2 Peter chapter 2 so that you can't see them, not nearly as clearly as you could in a King James Bible. We're going to identify 17 things that have been changed, and the modern Bible we're going to use is the NIV because it's representative of a lot of the changes in other modern Bibles, not exactly, of course, but it's very typical, let's put it that way, of the changes in other modern Bibles. And we're going to look at those 17 changes in this one chapter alone. And we're not going to look at minor, you know, like every word. We're looking at the ones that make major doctrinal differences in the text. 17, one chapter. Now, before you roll your eyes and say, oh, not another broadcast against modern Bibles, listen, carefully listen, because this lesson is not just an argument for the King James Bible, okay? It is a study that opens your understanding to the disguise that is already in place by false teachers who have substantially corrupted God's people. You remember the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven in the New Testament? Both of those speak of the leaven going through the entire meal, or the mustard seed growing into the greatest of trees, and then the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, and the beasts of the earth lodge in its branches and in its shadow. Both of those parables speak of corruption, of apostasy in the body of Christ before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today you're going to see one of the contributing factors, which is the perversion of the words of God. Now, we have 17 things to discuss, so I feel certain we're not going to get all of these done in one broadcast. You'll hear more in another broadcast. But we'll deal with as much of this as we can, carefully enough so that we don't rush and lose you, carefully enough so that you can get a good handle on what's going on. All right, now these are the serious changes in 2 Peter chapter 2. We begin with verse 1. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, the first change is this change to the word damnable, damnable heresies. That change has been reworded, and it is now called destructive heresies. In the NIV, it says, there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Okay? And the King James Bible says damnable heresies. You say, well, I don't see much difference in that. Well, there's a lot of difference in that if you will look carefully at the two words particularly as you see them applied by Paul in another section of the Bible. Damnable heresies are heresies that deserve condemnation and imprecation. That's what the word damnable means. You say, well, what is imprecation? Imprecation is a curse. Okay? Look down in verse 14 of 2 Peter chapter 2, and notice the characteristics of these false teachers, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Watch it. Cursed children. You see that? Cursed children. So when Peter says here, these are damnable heresies, he's talking about heresies that need to be condemned and heresies that are cursed, just like the cursed children. Now, Paul dealt with the heresy concerning the gospel in Galatians chapter 1. Remember in the book of Galatians how the Galatians were being brought back into the bondage of the law by men who were destroying the liberty that they had in Jesus Christ. They had changed the gospel and took it really to something that was now a gospel of works, not a gospel of faith. And honestly, if you make the gospel a gospel of works, it's no longer the gospel, right? Okay, well, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul dealt with this problem beginning in verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, watch it, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, watch it, let him be accursed, Paul said. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, you know what Paul is doing? He's doing exactly what Peter said. He said that gospel perversion was a heresy, and so it is a damnable heresy, and he is accursing the men who preach that false doctrine. You see it? He condemned the perpetrators of this heresy with a curse. Now, he does the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, all right, look at verse 17. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, like a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now he called these guys a cancer, and he called them by name. You know, these heresies then are a lot more than just destructive heresies, as the NIV calls them. They are damnable heresies. That is, they need to be resoundingly condemned and the men espousing them turned over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, like Paul said. And I want to ask you something. Where are the preachers who are condemning the heresies? Most preachers are not condemning them because the instruction to do so has been removed from their Bibles. Do you understand these heresies brought on by the false teachers are not just destructive? They must be condemned. And it is a major change to what Peter wrote, to what God wrote, to take away the word damnable and replace it with the word destructive. You can already tell they're destructive. The very text goes on to say, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You already see the word in the text. They took away the need to condemn them. Now, why would they? Well, if the devil is behind the change, the last thing he wants is people hearing from their preachers standing in their pulpits telling the people, turn away from these heresies like Paul was doing in Galatians chapter 1. And you don't hear it today. Not much. What you hear is love and agree to get along and agree to disagree and all that sweet talk. And I'm telling you what, the damnable heresies have infiltrated the church. All right? Now here's another one. In the same verse, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we're looking at major doctrinal changes in the modern Bibles in 2 Peter chapter 2 to cover the work of the false teachers. Okay? The words go on in here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, they say this. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. All right, that word, the Lord, has been changed, and now it says in the NIV, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Now, this is not the only change in 2 Peter chapter 2 that deals with something related to Calvinism. All right? The NIV says they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. All right? There are other changes that are related to Calvinism in this particular chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 10, Peter makes this statement, chiefly them that walk after the flesh. And in verse 18, he says, For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. You see that? All right, twice in this chapter he refers to the flesh. Both times the changes in the NIV have been changed to sinful nature or sinful human nature. The NIV says in verse 10, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. And in verse 18, they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature. All right, now there's one other change that relates to Calvinism in 2 Peter chapter 2. And it is the word corruption in verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 in the King James Bible says, When they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. The NIV changes this and says, They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Depravity. All right, now, four times in this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2, there are introductions of words or changes to words that are specifically related to Calvinistic doctrine. Sovereign Lord, sinful nature or sinful human nature, and depravity. These changes are the result of the Calvinistic influences among the translators, evidently. Now, what does Calvinism teach? Among other things, Calvinism teaches predestination to salvation, and that particular doctrine, predestination to salvation, eventually kills in Christians the zeal and the command given to us by God to witness. You say, well, how could it possibly do that? If the sovereign Lord has already predestined some to salvation and some to condemnation, then what's the use of witnessing? Because your failure to witness won't keep those predestined to salvation from being born again. God's going to make that happen as the sovereign Lord, and your witnessing couldn't possibly help those predestined to condemnation, since God has already made the determination before the world began, before the foundation of the world, that they're going to hell. And everywhere you have seen the NIV introduced into formerly soul-winning churches, like a Southern Baptist church, you see that the people have left off witnessing, and the old soul-winning efforts and the visitation efforts and so forth of the churches has died off. And what did that? Why are people no longer obeying the command to witness? Because they've been taught that the sovereign Lord bought them, and that they are not responding to the lust of the flesh, over which they're supposed to have some control, and they don't walk after the flesh, over which walking in the Spirit will keep them from fulfilling those lusts of the flesh. They've been taught that that is their sinful nature, their sinful human nature, and that that is all related to depravity, not corruption. And so those changes, I'm telling you, there's four of them in 2 Peter chapter 2. They're all over the NIV. But years ago when I did one of my master's theses on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the King James Bible, I'm telling you, man, the book is loaded with them. You just happen to see four of them right here in this particular chapter. Very significant. All right. What we're looking at today is we're looking at, in 2 Peter chapter 2, the great chapter on exposing the false teachers. We're looking at changes made in modern Bibles to disguise who the false teachers are. Okay? Now, here we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and now we're looking at verse 2. And the verse 2 says this, "Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now the NIV changes pernicious ways to shameful ways. And I grant you, it is easier to understand what a shameful way is than it is to understand what a pernicious way is, unless you have some reason to be familiar with the word pernicious. However, it's very easy. You have your computers, you have your apps on your phones, you have dictionaries in your homes. It's very easy to look the word up. And when you look the word up, you find out that it's a very instructive word, and that having looked it up, you now understand exactly what Peter was warning against. Pernicious means to cause great injury. Pernicious means that which does great harm by insidiously undermining or weakening. Okay? That insidiously undermining and weakening, that's what the ways of false teachers will do. So what we want to do is we want to go in and we want to see some evidence in the Scripture about what is really happening here. Insidious means that it's characterized by treachery or slyness, that it's crafty and wiling, operating in a slow or not easily apparent manner, more dangerous than seems evident. That's what insidious means. All right, it's a plot. Okay? And it's very crafty. Now that we know what the word pernicious means, what we see is the ways of these false teachers are not just something to be ashamed of. By all means, they should be ashamed of what they're doing. They are ways that absolutely injure and harm Christianity irreparably. In other words, bringing the world into the church, for example, in order to get up the crowds, that's not just shameful. It insidiously, that means craftily, wilily, weakens the church to the point that there is no way to recover from the damage. I've often said, if you use the world to bring in the crowd, you will never be able to train the people away from the world in order to keep them. You can't, because that's not how you brought them in. And friendship with the world, or friendship with the world, is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. How are you going to rectify that? You can't. The ways of false teachers, in fact, are not shameful. They are pernicious. And the change, I'm telling you, has absolutely disguised the way that the false teachers, through a very subtle, wily, crafty, slow, almost undetectable way, have come in with their false doctrine and, I mean, just level the church with apostasy. Try it. Pernicious. Pernicious is an excellent word. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're looking at how modern Bibles cover the work of false teachers by changing important words from the King James Bible. They've changed damnable heresies and to just destructive heresies. And these heresies do need to be condemned. And they've added the sovereign Lord and four other Calvinistic changes in the chapter. Pernicious ways to shameful ways. And look at this. Many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The NIV says, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Now that may sound like the same to you, the way of truth into disrepute, as opposed to the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's a very, very important change. It may not be apparent to you at first, but let me explain. To change shall be evil spoken of, to disrepute, means this. The way of truth, you know, what we're doing here right now, the way of truth has been in disrepute since Jesus was here on the earth. Don't you remember that when Jesus Christ came preaching the truth, they called him a blasphemer? When Paul had to stand before Felix and give an answer, Paul told Felix that the way of truth was the way which they call heresy in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. The way which they call heresy, he said. Now, what Paul was preaching was the way of truth, but everybody else was calling it the way of heresy. In other words, the truth has always been in disrepute. That's one of the things that marks it as the truth. But now the fact that the way of truth was in dispute had nothing to do with Paul preaching damnable heresies. It had to do with the unbelief of those who rejected the truth. That's the attitude of the world concerning the gospel. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, the way of truth is evil spoken of, not by the world, you know that, but by believers who have followed the pernicious ways of false teachers who influence them to speak evil of the men who preach the truth. You say, what are you talking about? We're talking about Acts chapter 20. We're talking about Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Listen, look at this thing for yourself. Paul gets the elders of Ephesus together and warns them of various things to happen when he's gone. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he tells them, take heed, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now look at it, verses 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Well, you know what they're going to do? These grievous wolves and these perverse disciple makers are going to speak evil of the way of truth in order to scare that flock away from the truth so that the false teachers can then introduce their damnable heresies and their apostasy and their pernicious ways. Do you understand? The change is major. The truth, the real truth, has always been in disrepute by the world. But men of the faith didn't speak evil of it. The false teachers do. And when they do, what they're doing is the evil speaking is the way they introduce their false teaching and draw them into their damnable heresies. Don't you know in Galatians chapter 1, when the new gospel was being introduced by those that came to draw disciples after themselves, that don't you know they had bad things to say about Paul and evil things to say about Paul? Absolutely. Didn't the Thessalonians have evil things to say about Paul when he showed up and tried to bring those folks to the truth? Absolutely. Absolutely. Very important changes. Let's do one more. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're looking at changes made in modern Bibles that disguise the work of the false teachers that are the subject of the very chapter. You would know that if modern Bibles were being handled by false teachers, that you would certainly see changes, major changes, to the doctrines in 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at another one. All right, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words. The NIV changes that thing, feigned words, and changes it to this. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. With stories they have made up. Let me tell you something. The trouble with false teachers is not made up stories. The trouble is that they have altered the words in the Bible. They have substituted the feigned words of men for the true words of God. You say, what are feigned words? They're counterfeit. They're lookalikes. They're imitations. Like these changes we're discussing in this chapter that have been made by the NIV. These are feigned words. These are counterfeits. The translators want you to believe that their Greek substitutions and their Hebrew substitutions are true substitutions for the words of God, and they are not. They are the substitutions of men. They are the substitutions of false teachers to take away from you the truth so that they can put a veil over your eyes and then introduce damnable heresies that will draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and bring heresy and bring apostasy into the church. It's the words, not the stories. It's the words that the devil is after, not the stories. It's not made-up stories, like the NIV says. The trouble with false teachers is the feigned words, the false substitutions, the alterations to God's word. So today what we've looked at is we've looked at this. We knew that there would be significant changes in 2 Peter chapter 2 because that chapter identifies the methods of the false teachers. And we have seen these changes from the King James Bible. They've changed damnable heresies. They've changed the Lord. They've changed the pernicious ways. They've changed the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and they have introduced feigned words. All of those have been disguised in the modern Bibles. Now, what we're going to do in the next broadcast is pick up from here and give you some more. And I know this is strong and hard medicine for you, but you've got to hear the truth. Stay with us. We'll be back with you again tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.